Hello, welcome to the show brought to you by the YFC, Youth Advocates for Change. The YFC is sponsored by the Ray Center, a project of SPAN. And my name is Everett, and with me today is...
I'm Erin.
And I'm Carly.
And Erin, where are you from?
Yeah, so I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it's been snowing, so I'm freezing.
We are recording this in... November. It's almost Thanksgiving, and there's been snow all over, like, northeastern U.S. and I guess where you are, you're getting like feet of snow. I heard like New York's gonna get blasted with like 4 feet of snow like this weekend. Mm-hmm. And Carly, where are you from?
I am from Virginia, where it is cold but not snowing.
It is not snowing. Okay. And so I'm so glad that the two of you are here today. And some of you may be wondering, what is the YAFC and what is RAISE? So first of all, RAISE is a National Technical Assistance Center that really helps parent centers support youth and families through the transition process. And transition being the transition from high school to adult life, whether that means going to college, whether that means people with disabilities getting into the workforce or just achieving what they think is independent living for them. And the YAFC, or the Youth Advocates for Change, is a group that RAISE supports to make sure that the young adult voice is brought to the table in all the work that is done with the RAISE Center and with parent centers across the United States. So as we do more of these episodes with other members of the group, Erin and Carly will definitely be back, and you'll probably get to know them a little bit through these conversations. But you'll really get to know that the YFC is a group of young adults that are from all across the country that bring a different, diverse perspective to the world of disability and to their transition and what their advocacy journey has been, both personally and for others. And so that kind of leads into our pilot episode that is going to be focused on the power of sharing personal stories. And so I know that, Carly, this is a topic that's really near and dear to your heart. Can you tell me about what sharing your personal story has meant to you in your journey of becoming like a self-advocate?
Yeah, so honestly, it has helped me to become more confident, and it allows me to share more information about my disability to other people who are not aware of it.
How has sharing your story helped you in school, though? Like, when you were in high school and now making the transition, like,
it's definitely made people more aware of it and made it easier to get accommodations and easier to make friends and definitely easier transition in general.
Sure. Yeah. So you talked about like getting accommodations and getting support. So getting the things that you needed to kind of level the playing field in school, and then making connections with your peers, it was good for you. What about you, Erin, though? Is it the same for you? Do you find that is where the power of telling your story for you kind of comes in personally?
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And I think the first thing I think of is definitely like, it has allowed for me to connect with so many people I never thought that I would have a connection with. And I think throughout my life, I've realized like how different people can be, but how similar we all are. And there's things that we all strive for, and telling your personal stories can make that connection that you think might not be possible. And it also kind of opens doors for other people to see those different perspectives. And I think throughout my life, especially like in college, when I was meeting a lot of different people in a lot of different, you know, from a lot of different states and parts of the world, even that I was able to open their eyes up to what disability was, because I have a very obvious disability. So, you know, when I was meeting with a grad student who was from Russia, she had never seen, you know, someone with my type of disability as a wheelchair user go to a university. So we had shared that, and she found it really empowering and wanted to do more advocacy work back in Russia. And so kind of making those connections is such a unique thing. And it's been really empowering for myself, and I can see it being empowering for others as well.
Well, and Carly, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I heard you say multiple times during what you said about how people get to know what your situation is better. So Aaron talked about being a wheelchair user. I too am a wheelchair user and have been almost my whole life. Do you find that shining or helping people understand a disability that people may not necessarily know is there helps you and helps others kind of understand each other?
Because mine is an invisible disability, so it definitely helps people to recognize it more and to like be more patient, or just in general to learn more about it.
Yeah, and then it helps your community be better, mm-hmm. as a person living where you live. And I think if you're a parent listening to this, if you're someone who is a professional listening to this, one of the biggest things I heard was that it's almost like your people sharing their stories, or young people sharing their stories, helps to build the community and bring people together, right? You find common ground that way, right? You find a connection and a place that you feel safe once those walls are kind of broken down and people understand you. Mm-hmm. But I guess on the other side of that, so you feel empowered by telling them, and it helps build a community, and it's great, and you inspire other people. And I'm going to ask you about what it's like what kind of change you might see in parents and other youth you've talked to. But what have been some challenges around sharing your story with people, whether it be in a group, like during a panel presentation, or just to someone that you get to know really well or want to get to know really well? And Aaron, I'll ask you to answer this one first, since I went to Carly on the first one.
Yeah, I think there can be a lot of different answers to this, but the first one I think of is just that what I've witnessed is that everyone is definitely at a different stage of not only empathy toward other people, but understanding disability. And so at this point in my life, I've realized that. And I think there's some people that have a background that make it easy to share, but then there's other people who might not fully understand it. So it takes a slower process. And I also think it definitely depends on kind of the setting and the environment you're in. And unfortunately, you know, we're not to that stage yet in the United States where we can feel comfortable always sharing certain things about our disability, whether that's healthcare even, or whether it's in school or especially a workplace, because some of that can be unfortunately seen as a weakness. And so the way that you introduce it can kind of be different to everyone. And so for me, being able to share my story has definitely been something that can be empowering, but also I have to recognize that everyone's not at the same spot, you know, right. So you know, kind of like reaching people where they are, but also recognizing that like we all don't have endless time in the day to know everything, you know, so like having those conversations and being open about it.
And Carly, so and thank you for that, but Carly, what have you felt is or has been challenging when trying to tell your story, or do you not really feel challenges with that? I mean, some people do and some people don't. So,
yeah, unfortunately, I haven't really had any challenges with telling people my story, which is good. But yeah, it's definitely hard sometimes when you're in kind of an uncomfortable setting to like always tell them details. So sometimes I might just like.
What would be an uncomfortable setting? What would be a place that you're like, I'm not always comfortable to like just say this stuff, like, or like I don't feel like I'm ready to, or I need to, or what?
I guess it's more like when I'm meeting new people.
Yeah. First.
So mm-hmm. sometimes I have to get to know them better. And then I'm like, oh, okay, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think, and as Aaron was talking, and Carly, you it's a great segue. It's like we planned this, which, by the way, we did plan some of this, but not all of this, right? And so one of the things that I say is that as a chair user like Aaron is, it's almost like you have to be able to share some things because people, it just is what it is. But then there are parts of our lives as chair users that the outside world doesn't really understand, right? And only, how can I say, people that are really special or new people that eventually will matter a lot, like your best friends or your partner, significant other, like they're the ones that get to know, like, I would say all of it. I don't know. And I feel like I too have that like threshold where I'm an open book for most things, but there are certain things that I'm very guarded about until I really, really, really get to know you. And that's as a young professional who is in their, you know, mid 30s, not to age myself, but you know what I'm saying? Like but trying to find where people are as you're sharing that story can be challenging, right? Like, is it the right time to say this? Do you feel like they get it? You know, we always talk about that. You can meet someone and know that they get it. What, you know? And I see Aaron kind of nodding their head. I see you both nodding your head like, yes. So tell me about what does it feel like when you're telling your story and you feel like someone gets it? What does that feel like? What is that?
Yeah. I think that's kind of, it's like almost hard to define because unfortunately, I think when you have a disability and one that's very obvious, you know, there's times where you can sometimes like mask certain things you may not be able to do as fast or, you know, may not be able to physically do well. But when someone just opens up about it, it always just puts you completely at ease. I remember one time specifically, it was my first day at work and there was someone who had sat down and actually talked about, you know, masking themselves in the workplace. And this person was non-binary and part of the LGBTQ community. And so they talked about how they had to mask, you know, their identity for a long time. And when they no longer had to do that, they felt free. And I was like, wow, that's exactly how I feel, you know, masking certain parts of my disability. So I was able to share that piece. And so once we knew we both had that feeling, we were able to just like lose those walls and we felt very comfortable with each other. So I felt like I could share like those a little bit more complicated situations that can sometimes come with disability that I think we all know all too well.
Right. Well, yeah. And yeah. And I think that I think that what I hear is that we have, you know, a person that said that they identify as a person with an invisible disability, one that cannot be seen in one, and two that are on here that say, yeah, you can see this. And it's almost the same vibe. It's like you have to be at a certain place with someone to get to those complicated things. And I would argue that the two of you are great advocates, people that are open about sharing your story, and you still have those natural walls that get built up around what is said and when and to whom, right? And so again, if you're listening to this as a young person listening to this, it's okay to have those boundaries around some of those things as you share things or tell people or disclose things. It's okay. But learning how to do that in different environments is super important, like on the job when needed or at the doctor's office. I think, Aaron, you brought that up. Like being able to explain your disability in a way that people understand what your needs might be in that environment and how they can best support you is really, really big. But it is a choice and what you need to share. But if you're a person that's a parent or supporting parents, helping people get to a place where they're open to share their story and have that can be empowering, and it helps them learn how to be an advocate. So I guess that's one of my questions too. Like, you've all talked about how this is empowering, but how have you used your story to advocate for things and empower other youth and families in your time? So Carly, I mean, who have you shared your story with and how have they been inspired by it?
Well, I have done a lot of, not research, but events with like the senators and all those people. And so I've got to
change makers, right?
Everything.
Yeah, legislators, change makers. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's the fancy word for it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So what did you tell them? What did you say, or how did you inspire them?
So it was for National Fragile X Awareness Week, and I just like felt inspired knowing that I shared my story with them, and now in like hopes that they'll do more research on it. But I also, it is empowering to know that I have a friend in the Fragile X community who I am friends with. So we kind of like share that bond in a way. So it definitely feels like empowering to know you have people that are just like you.
Yeah. And so finding a platform to share your story to make positive change is really good. And this can be as big as what Carly just shared about going in front of legislators and talking about things, or it can even be in your IEP, right? Or your 504 plan meetings, or if you're chatting about those things, like getting the chance to tell what you want and what you see for yourself and where you want to go and what you've been through can really help people understand who you are to make changes in your life. Aaron, I don't know if you have like a time that you feel like sharing your story really empowered other people, other families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what I think of specifically is, you know, I think when we think about being inspiring, you know, in a conversation we had before this, you know, we talked about how, for me personally, I think the biggest compliment I can get is inspiring other people with disabilities. Like, that's the biggest compliment to me, because we often, you know, we can see each other as like equals, and we understand some of those struggles that are built in when it comes to, you know, like societal barriers and stuff. And I remember one specific situation. I, you know, as like a side gig, I make earrings, right? And so I'll post like fun things on Instagram, and I'll talk about my disability and, you know, kind of managing all those different things while still selling, you know, like fun jewelry. I had met this really cool person who lived over in St. Paul, and we had really connected about, you know, several things, and we met up, and I did an interview for her job, ironically. And so we connected through that. But at the end of the interview, she told me like how inspiring I was to her. And it was funny because I was like, well, I'm inspired by you, because we're both people who pursued jobs we wanted to do and are, you know, doing change and being advocates for each other. And I think that can be such a great thing for our community.
Yeah. And I just think for it's about giving young people the space to do this so that they can go out and then meet other people that they can connect with in their own way. Right. For me, I still get juice from sharing a story or a perspective, right? It gives me a boost, but I know that story has helped me to advance my career, make connections that have lasted a lifetime. And I think what you both kind of mentioned is like, hey, like I've made change for people. I know I've inspired people, and I've met other people that have helped me along the way. So your story can be this thing that bonds people together and bring you so much confidence. I have two more questions. One is, how has sharing your story brought you closer to the members of your family? And what I mean by that is, My mom was a great advocate mom forever, right? And then and she was always like, you know, going through transition, this is way back in the day, I'm old, right? So this is way back. This is like, I was invited to meetings but didn't want to go, I'll be honest. She was like, go be a kid, go do what you want to do. And then, you know, and don't worry about this, mom's got it, right? And then I didn't, you know, and I agreed with the plan. It wasn't that we didn't talk about things. It wasn't like I didn't know. But I think when I got to start telling what my story was and what I wanted to be and where I wanted to go and what I went through, it really helped my mom and I create a bond of like that's lasted into me now being a person that's married and I have a 3-year-old daughter. It's helped her to see that this is my journey and I'm the one that's writing this story. And so, but where we created that connection was her actually hearing me give my perspective to other young people and their families in a spot, right? Now that's a proud mom moment, but I think that it's also helped us bond in that way. So I don't know if doing this kind of stuff has helped your parents see you in a, or created a relationship that that's a positive one. Or Carly, I don't know if you want to go first and just, and if you have thoughts, if you don't, I'll look at Erin and ask her.
No, I think
I can see it on her face. Go ahead, Carly. Hey, go ahead.
So it's definitely brought my mom and I closer because she has the same disability that I do, but it just affects her differently. And it definitely helps that, you know, when she got into advocacy that I would kind of like follow in her footsteps and it definitely really cool. Like brought us closer that way.
No, yeah. So, I mean, so, and again, that kind of speaks to like, you're connected to someone that experiences something similar to you, mm-hmm. right? And there's no denying in the disability community, I think it's great that we can all connect across disability. Like, it doesn't matter what you have, we're all in one happy community, but there is something to be said for meeting someone that is experiencing what you do on a daily basis. There is that kind of vibe. And that's really cool. There's a lot of power in that household mm-hmm. with you and your mom, Carly. So what about you, Erin?
Yeah. I think one of the things that I think about, like I acquired my disability. So I was in rehab for quite a while. And one of the things I think about is, you know, when you acquire a disability and you're in rehab, it's like one of the most confusing times ever for not only the person it happened to, but also the family members. And I know, like, I've had the opportunity, like, my doctors have introduced me and I didn't have to do it, but I did it just to see what it was like. But I was able to, you know, meet with other people who are in rehab and tell them that, you know, you will get out of here and you will be able to continue your life. You know, you will be able to go to school if that's what you want to do. You will be able to do sports again. Like I, before, you know, I was in rehab and had my injury, I did archery, you know, and I still do archery, you know? So it's like, there's ways that you can still do things. And I think that was a huge thing to just like, know that I can kind of be that guiding person for other families and other parents and kids, you know? So that was a huge thing. So just being there and knowing that I can do that for others.
I sure. Think was a super big thing. I hear all of this and I think that I love that we're able to do this kind of show because I feel like it's bringing so much power to what our community can be and what it should be and how people that might want to be allies or are allies through their work can really help to build community. And I think sometimes people love to connect in this way, but we don't spend time doing that. And it's great that you had the chance to really do that. Like people knew, hey, Erin's voice can help others make that, you know that there's a life after injury, right? There's a life after that, right? Mm-hmm. And so my last question, if you were, for the young adults that might be listening, what advice would you give them for telling their story to others? What advice would you give them? Carly, what advice would you give young adults who might be telling their story for the first time? or telling their story to a group of people that they're meeting or to a friend, what advice would you give?
Yeah, the advice I would give would probably just to be like confident and just kind of like prepare a little bit on what you're going to say. And I would just say, like, just try to be yourself, because if you, you know, are stumbling over your words, you just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, I think what I found in doing this in new groups, or especially in like new friendships or dating relationships, is that initially you're always a little anxious, but I would almost like practice in front of the mirror, or I'd like visualize what I was going to say, right? Like almost practicing, like you said. And then when it actually happens, it usually goes better than you expected, usually. I can't say it always does, but you'll know pretty quickly if it's not going well. And you'll get a vibe off of someone that then, and then you can make a choice about if you want to be in that space, or if that space that you're in will continue to be safe for you. So Aaron, I don't know what kind of advice you have.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of build off of that as well. I mean, it's just, I think telling your story, and like, I'll kind of go back a few steps and just say the first time you do feel comfortable sharing your story, it might not come out the best way, but just know that it's a process. And yeah, story is always evolving and always, you know, becoming more you. And I think that's the really great thing about storytelling, is that the more you live, the more there is to build on it, and the more there is to share, and the more wisdom you have. And so I think the greatest thing about storytelling is that there will always be new stories and more things to share.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is that I started to, because there was a period where I was like going out and telling stories all the time. And you almost, when you do this regularly, right, or you're Carly going to legislators, you learn what stories have power in what spaces, right? You learn what's going to be most effective. But I found that if I would write a blog that were my stories, it was a good way to get them out. It was like cathartic for me. So you can write them down, you can share them with people, you can do a vlog, and they're all over the place, people telling stories. I don't know what it is about being a person with a disability, but I feel like unique things happen to us all the time, or you experience things that will help other people. And so and I think the other thing that you both said is like, just be who you are and realize that it's going to be okay. Some of the most amazing things I've ever experienced have been during those times where I've been at youth conference for people with disabilities, where there was a design time we talked about the power of telling your personal story, and then it was a couple days later and you had to actually come up and share that after you spent a few days with people. And when you're around the disability community and sharing that, and it might be your first time, it doesn't come out right, it sounds weird, but then you do it and everybody around you is like that, and you feel great. It is the most amazing experience. So if you can get to a place where you feel comfortable, it will be good, and you'll be able to build on that as you go, and it will inspire you and other people. And so I am so happy I'm so thankful that Aaron and Carly were able to join me today. I hope that you guys liked this pilot episode. I hope Aaron, Carly had fun. And so thank you for joining us, whether you're watching this on video or listening in your ears only, right? Thank you for listening, and thank you again, Aaron and Carly.
Thank you.
Thank you.